We are up to Shar Shlishi Maracha Shnia, now Perek Rishon. I feel bad that there was a huge break. Not only was I traveling, but then before Hanukkah, we gave a shir on Hanukkah. So it's at least 3 weeks, if not four, since we were doing this Maracha. And the introduction to the Maracha talked about the importance of being individualized in one's Avodas Hashem, the challenge of, on the one hand, not having a Navi anymore, or even Ruach HaKodesh, so we're not always as sure. Anyway, that was the introduction which we saw a few weeks ago. Perek Rishon is a very, very powerful one. And he starts off with, gets right to it. Kol Adam Chayev Ladas Shiesh Lo Chashivus. Every person needs to realize that they count, that they're important. Lo Chashivus Meduma. Shu machshiv atzmo ba'atzmo, as the Mesil Sharm says. Not some superficial sense of inflated ego, I'm a somebody, but rather something much deeper, balat mashma'ut amukav af mizazet. And what is the basis of this alternative, deeper, more authentic, more meaningful sense of meaning and importance, not the superficial, egocentric one? It's based on the famous Gemara that Rashi quotes, and the Rashi, kol echad ve'echad chayev lomar, Bishvili nivra ha'olam. Everyone has to say, the whole world was created for me. Kolomar, Rashi says, Choshev ani ka'olam malei. And therefore, because I am as important as the whole world, I won't waste this opportunity, I won't ruin my life just by one silly avera, or by the silliness and the superficiality of the Yetzer Hara. So interestingly, see, what is there, again, that's a Gemara, an idea we're all familiar with. But Rav Volbi is sensitive to the nuance of the language, and I think he really develops this beautifully in the next paragraph. What did Chazal say? That a person is chayiv to look at himself as an olam malei. There's many ways Chazal could have said, you should know you're important, know your self-worth. Why did Chazal pick this language? You should realize you're like an olam malei. So says Rav Volbi, olam malei zuhi chaviyat chad pa'amiyuto. This is the experience of uniqueness. We're not all important in the same way that the Chinese look at their billion people, or the Indians look at their billion people, or North Koreans look at their I don't know how many people. There's this huge, or the communists used to, where this huge monolith of numbers, and it's just the power of the numbers. Our tzibur is this big. That's not what makes us important. But rather, it's the fact that Chazal referred to each of us as an olam malei is a way, in a deep, metaphoric, symbolic language, is expressing the power of uniqueness of each person. Shaloya od kamoso. There never, ever, ever, ever in the history of the world was anyone like you. Velo ya kamoso. And there never will be in the history of the world anyone like you. Atsov kol doros. Ani, a person has to tell himself, be aware. Im hamizug hamiyuchad shekochati, in the exact cocktail, if you will, of my kochot, the son of exactly these parents, nolad betoch otot gufa, ubo otos viva, who was born not just with these genetics, in essence we would say, not only with this nature, but also born exactly at this time and in this place, i.e. with this nurture, with this background, with this culture, with this education. Bevadai avodam yuchedet, we'll tell it alai. It must be, if there's no one who ever was like me, there's no one who ever will be like me, no one ever had my DNA, no one ever had my upbringing, my parents, my culture, etc. There's never, ever, ever been anyone in the history of the world, there never, ever will be anyone in the history of the world with that cocktail. And if that's the case, it's obvious, Chazal are telling us, that I must have a unique mission, an avodah miyuchadet, a chelik miyuchad in Torah, v'chol habriya, mechakeli. And the whole creation is waiting, anxiously, anticipating that I should do my job, what I need to do. Because I can't assume that anyone else will ever do my work, by definition. Because anyone else who does anything, it still isn't what it was uniquely expected of me, the thing that I uniquely could contribute. That is what Chazal mean when they say everyone has to realize that I am an olam malei. Zuhi, says Rav Volbi, that is authentic chashivus. Bli toda'at chashivut ein avodah b'torah. And a person has to realize how important this sense of meaning, this self-worth is. Without it, he says, without this consciousness, there is simply no ability of avodah in Torah. You cannot function as an Eved Hashem, as a Ben Torah, as a Bas Torah, as a Bas Melech, all the different nice euphemisms that the yeshivas and the Beis Yaakovs will tell the kids. None of it gets started unless you start off with this sense of self-worth, this consciousness of, I am an Olam Malay. I am unique, and my contributions, and therefore my responsibility, never can and never will be done by anyone else unless I do them. And he points out in the next two paragraphs, both in the introduction to Matan Torah and in the aftermath of the Matan Torah, there are psukim, which Rashi, always based on Midrashim, elaborate on making this exact point. So just to get the example of before Matan Torah, we are told in Revi'i of Yisro, Atem Tiuli Mamleches Kohanim. Rashi explains, what does that mean that we're all a Mamleches Kohanim? So we're not all Kohanim. We're not all descendants of Aaron. We're not all going to be the ones working in the base of Mikdash. What does that mean? The whole Jewish people are Mamleches Kohanim. So Rashi said, in this context, a Kohen is a Tsar, is a nobleman, is a prince. You have to realize, says Ravolbi, using this Rashi, Kol Echad Mi Yisrael is a Tsar. Every Jew is a nobleman. Bal Milo, Bal Achrayas, Kmo Tsar B'Medina. Right? And a true nobleman is not just someone who, you know, enjoys the fat of the land, but also takes an achrayas for his people, for the people under him. That sense of not only, yes, privilege, but responsibility, every Jew is supposed to feel. Because every Jew is a tsar, every Jew is a prince, every Jew is a nobleman. And only then, said Rav Volbi, mitoch hargashazu halach am Yisrael lekabel Torah miSinai. It was only coming with this feeling, when they first realized that they were a tsar, they first realized their responsibility, their privilege, their abilities, only then did they go into Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, when everyone had this unique level of nevuah, they even got to speak to Hashem, you know, panim upanim, as long as they could handle it, and the whole fire and light show thing, they was scary. So, in one of the psukim, after Matan Torah, Chazal explained, Rashi quotes, why was this all? What was the purpose of all of this? And again, it was a similar idea, to give them this sense of nevuah, as he says here in the last two lines of the last paragraph, of the next paragraph, legadlam, ulerome motam, to elevate them, that they should realize who they are. Matan Torah tchilasan v'sofan, romamus kol yachin miYisrael. Ki mitoch katnus, lo masigim kavana b'torah. You're not going to come to any accomplishment in learning or doing mitzvos if you come from a place of smallness, of meekness, of who am I. Adrava, Matan Torah was bookended with direct and indirect communication to Klal Yisrael of how unique and how special and how important they are. Next section. So says Rav Volbi, in essence, if I could translate, let's get real here for a second. I'm a Mashgiach. I'm Rav Volbi. This is a Musa Sefer. This is Ali Shor. It's inevitable, obviously, that if we're going to be doing this thing, obviously we're going to be confronting our deficiencies. Isn't that what Musa is about? Being honest, confronting our weaknesses, our deficiencies. Halomei Musar b'kviyus, mitnakesh tadir, imidos v'netiyos ros. A person who does learn Musar is going to be constantly attacked, confronted, assassinated, I think is the literal translation of mitnakesh, with all of their bad midos, their bad tendencies. And therefore, what is the words of the Mashkiach, what is the words of Musar that we most think of as associated? Sur Meira. L'chora, says Rav Volbi, of course. Zot tzava rishona yichidi b'chalasha anu oskim ayin matzmenu. Isn't that how most people are, right? We right away, if we even bother to have any self-reflection, we're very aware, right? The people who are oblivious, walking through the world, chewing gum, humming a bar, they have no idea what's good. You know, of course they're not aware of their own, but if we're going to be the self-reflective people, we're the thoughtful people. So of course, doesn't that mean we should be aware of our deficiencies, our chisronot? Umirvachas hadeya kizui kol magamat limud musar legalos uleganos eshara. And this is the widely popular held opinion that this must be the whole purpose of musar. I can tell you, one of the people I love most in the entire world, my mother, who is not only one of the most wonderful people I know, she's one of the most genuinely spiritual and religious people I know. If you say the word musar to her, it's a trigger. I don't want. Someone's giving a shiur in the community, she'll ask, is this going to be a Musar shiur? I don't want that. Not because she doesn't want to grow. My mother's entire life has been about growing. But she associates, probably because that's her experience, she didn't make it up. Usually when someone's giving a Musar shiur, it's just bad, 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 you're bad, the world's bad, Sur Meira, fire and brimstone. It's not, my mom's not unique. What Rav Volbe said, Mirvachar Hadeya. This is the widely associated opinion. And it is because, unfortunately, people give Musr a bad name. So says Rav Volbe, is this true or is it not true? Isn't that what Musr is about? Zuhi Chetzi Emes. It's a partial truth. But, you know, if you're 99% true, it's 100% lie. Right? You can lie, you know, just ask the New York Times, right? They can just shade one detail, change the whole story. You can paint a false picture if you're not fully true. Says Rav Volbe, this is in essence a lie, because it's only half true. He's not denying it. Of course, Musr, of course self-reflection, self-awareness has to be being honest about your deficiencies. But that's only a half truth. Now, what's the real point? So now he's developing it. Next paragraph. Hatcholas kol avoda pratit hidavka chavayat romamuta adam. Step one in any personal growth. Step one in any genuine Musr. Step one in any authentic self-reflection is what we're talking about in the opening of this chapter. Not the chisaron, but rather the godless, the romus, the exalted nature of human beings, of every individual. A person who has no awareness, does not confront, does not consider his greatness, his unique and incredible potential, and only and exclusively focuses on his weaknesses, his deficiencies, such a person, and this is almost obvious, Yoter v'yoter yishka b'yeyush. Ubesof yashlim imhara mi'efes tekva l'takno. Not only will he become inevitably depressed and despondent, but, as we would put it, I think, in our language, it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because when you spend so much time obsessing over your weaknesses and over your deficiencies and over your chesronot, you give up any hope of improving. Memela, of course, you live down to your self-awareness and self-definition, not live up to your aspiration. Says Rav Volbe, this is a catastrophe and a horrible mistake. Says Rav Volbe, next page. I have big people on my side. And the next paragraph, the next page basically, is him quoting two of the Gedolei Rishonim and one of the Gedolei Balei Musar, his Rebbe. The first one on top of the page, the Chovos HaLevavos. And we won't read the whole thing inside, we don't have time, but he gives you the whole quote here. This is from the introduction to the Shar HaKhaniyah, right? This is an entire section where the Chovos HaLevavos, and again, this is not a time to give a whole overview of the Sefer Chovos HaLevavos. Chovos HaLevavos is a classic, but it should be aware, Chovos HaLevavos is an extreme Sefer. It's not always the most healthy Sefer to learn. It certainly wouldn't be the most healthy Sefer to only learn. In Avodas Hashem. It's extreme in many different of its presentations. So it has an entire section on hachna, on being meek, on being modest in an extreme way. And yet, even the Chovos HaLevavos, in the introduction, talks about how there's three different types of modesty. And he says, we sometimes confuse the healthy and the unhealthy. And he says, most people think that they're having a healthy sense of hachna'ah. But really, it's what the Chovos HaLevavos calls dalus ha-nefesh. Right? A certain poverty of the soul, thinking that you are poor, i.e. that you are worthless. Says the Chovos HaLevavos, not some modern self-help guru, not an NCSY kollel advisor, and not even Rav Volbe, who's very modern. No, the Chovos HaLevavos already said, just thinking about all your lack of self-worth, that is fake, that is not healthy, and that is not what Chazal meant, that's not hachna'ah. Rather, if you look at the part where he changes the, you know, he bolds it. But rather, says Chovos HaLevavos, only achar romamos ha-nefesh, v'hisnasei mihishtatef im ha-behemos v'midosan ha-megunos, only after a person has a sense of awareness of their exaltedness, of their uniqueness, and they realize how much greater they are than the animals and those people who live like animals. Only when a person realizes that they're not connected to these midos of the p'chusei b'nei adam, of the low-level people, rather, a person with chachma understands the exalted and precious nature of his own soul. Only then will he be able to confront his midos hamagunos and have a proper balance and healthy sense of humility. Only if you do it in that order, says Rav Volbe, is it healthy? Excuse me, I'm sorry, I ruined that. Says the Chovos HaLevavos. That's all a quote. That's the Chovos HaLevavos. So it says Rav Volbi, summarizing, Odom she'eno makir yikras nafsho, osur lo, l'chateit l'likuye, l'yaser atzmo al tchunosav haros. That's what he meant, Rav Volbi, 2 minutes ago, he said it's half true. Of course, a person can't go through life, not as an Eved Hashem, not as a Baal Musar, never thinking about, never confronting, and never trying to improve their weaknesses, their deficiencies. Hello, what are we here for? But says Rav Volbi, the half-truth, which would be a distortion, is if you start with it. If you start with it, you're pretty much sunk. And that's not what Chazal or Hashem has in mind. Rather, you have to start with the premise of what you're actually capable of. Being truly aware, truly appreciating the Mamlechas Kohanim, the Romos HaNefesh, the uniqueness, the greatness. And he's about to quote a very powerful thing from the Sha'ari Tshuva, or of Rabbi Ben Yonah, but in between the two Rishonim, he sandwiches his Rebbe, Rabbi Ruchem Levavitz, who has a great line here. Look at this, it's at the end of that second paragraph. There's a quote. I mean, I assume it was not said in Hebrew, I assume it was said in Yiddish, but Rav Volbi translates it into Hebrew and he puts it in quotation marks, so I trust him. Said Rabbi Ruchem Levavitz, Oy lo la'adam, she'eno makir l'kuei nafsho, Oy nebuch, for a person who's totally unaware of their weaknesses, of their deficiencies, right? You know, that's a person who has sha'enu yodea al-ma'al al-tachkein, right? We can already predict his, right? If you were an analyst, analyzing a company, try to predict what to invest in, the shibai, so you, right, you need to have a proper analysis of the company, its assets and its deficiencies, right? The good and the bad, or else you can't. And says Rav Volbi, it's the same thing. If you're not aware of the deficiencies, you're not aware of the expenses, the liabilities of yourself, then how could you possibly improve it? Just because you become aware, if you're analyzing a company, just because you're aware of the liabilities doesn't mean you're not going to invest in it. It just means that if I invest in it, if I buy it, I'll know now where the margin is, what I can fix, where I can increase efficiency, where I can improve to help the margin. But I'm not aware, if there's nothing to improve, well, there's no more juice in the orange to squeeze. Right. So, says Rav Volbi, oy vavoy to a person who is not aware of their own deficiencies, what would be the point of life then? Then there's nothing more to fix. That's a nebuch life. But aval, oy vavoy. You understand? You have to be medayik. There's oy, then there's oy vavoy. Oy to the person who doesn't know his deficiencies. But oy vavoy, says Rabbi Rucham, la'odam she'enu makir ma'alosov, kihein afilu es kli avodoso enu makir. What kalim? What assets are you going to use and bring to bear to fix those deficiencies? Yes, nachon, you're not perfect. Shkoyach, you're not perfect. And maybe you even have a lot of deficiencies. Mr. I want to beat myself up all the time, Baal Musar. But what's the point of being aware about all these things you're not good at? I'm not good at davening, and I'm not the best husband, and I'm not so good with Hirhuri Aveira, and I don't always honest in business. I'm aware of all these things. Shkoyach, what's the point? The only point of being aware of it is so that you can do something about it. But you have to have the infrastructure and the assets to then fix the problems. That's the milus that you have. The milus that you have are the kalim that Hashem gave you and that you've developed, hopefully, that you can use and bring to bear to fix and to improve the liabilities. There's no point in one without the other. And therefore, just being aware of your deficiencies is terrible. Because oy vavoy, a person doesn't, is not aware of their milas, they won't be able to fix anything. Not only does he has a nothing. That's the oivavoy. And that's bottom line what he says in the next paragraph. Of course, let's be honest, let's be real. Yes, the purpose of Musar is to confront our deficiencies and our weaknesses and our mistakes and to fix them. Yes, but that's not all doom and gloom because it has to be predicated. Which is a new and beautiful expression. Musar chiyuvi. Right? In the parallel, we have a relatively modern phenomenon known as positive psychology. Right? Most of psychology, historically and even now, is helping people deal with the problems in their life. It can be chemical, genetic, biological, their parents, whatever. People have problems. People are in pain. And Baruch Hashem, there's a sophisticated field of psychology that can help them. But there is a smaller, but maybe just as important field that's relatively new in terms of historically, which is disproportionately populated by Jews, not shockingly, known as positive psychology, which brings to bear the same scientific rigorous analysis and hopefully ability to treat and help, based on not identifying people's weaknesses and challenges, but helping them see and develop their positive traits. So positive psychologists are people who are going to study the value of gratitude and happiness and all sorts of things. And those are also important. Says Rav Obi, they are the building block. You have to have a musar chiyuvi. L'orer b'limud ha-musar es ha-hakara ha-chiyuvi sh'romos adam. Ha-mechev es v'shol l'chayromos. And that doesn't have to come before musar. That is musar. Again, this is the first time that I've ever read this piece. But I think I mentioned it one of the maybe even the first year we were learning this. I can't remember. Similar to what I was just telling you 10 minutes ago for my mother. Right? She's not unique, right? Lots of people don't like musar because they associate it, maybe for good reason, with the fire and brimstone and negative, negative, negative. So a few years ago, I was doing like a vod with some of my Shana Bet Talmidim in the Gush, and this came up. Because definitely, Gush is one of the yeshivas where the Talmidim typically have a very ambivalent relationship to musar at best. And I was trying to encourage them to do some kind of a musar. And I said, I acknowledged the elephant in the living room. That people assume that musar just means you're terrible and it's bad and you're going to go get Gehenim and all that stuff. I said, that's not what I think musar is. I said, at the time, I gave an off-the-cuff expression, translation. I said, my definition of musar is self-awareness, self-reflection. So more or less, I would say now, Bar Shekivanti. In other words, you have to be aware. And chenami, you can't have, being aware will hopefully be, unless you're perfect. If you're perfect, that's fine. But for the rest of us, of course that means you're going to have to confront your deficiencies. And no one likes doing that. But part of that has to be being aware and being honest about your ma'ilus too. Being a chakran is not the goal of Avodas Hashem. It's not just that it's not the goal, it's dangerous. Because as he said, if you are not aware of the ma'ilus, you're not even aware of what you can do possibly to fix or to help anything you're doing. Just to outside, just summarize the rest of this whole page, he points out something that now makes a lot of sense. We won't read it inside, but in Shari Tshuva, in Rabbeinu Yonah's classic work on Tshuva, again, this is Rabbeinu Yonah here. Not only did he live a long, long time ago, Rabbeinu Yonah, and Shari Tshuva is not known as like, the uplift me, rah-rah, Hashem loves me book. Right? And yet, he points out here, when they're right towards the beginning of the Sefer, when the Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah is discussing the importance of charata, of regret. And again, we would think, for good reason, that regret is something that is associated with mistakes and negativity, all the regrets I have in life. Charata about my averos. He's medayik, and again, because we don't have time, I don't want to read it all inside, but if you look inside, he's medayik. Numerous times in his paragraph about charata, Rabbeinu Yonah is focusing on the romos hanefesh. Why do I feel bad that I did X and Y? Because I could have done better. If I didn't have it in my ability to do better, why would I feel bad? Right? This is reminiscent. Some of you may be aware, maybe the greatest modern proponent of this in the Torah world was Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, who I believe there was a quote out there somewhere, you could Google it, where he says that he'd written like 50 books, or by the time he died, maybe 70 books, 100 books. Keep on going. Because he said himself, he says, the people ask me, how can I write so many books? It's all one book. Just said it 100 different ways. And it was all about what? Yeah, Gav Zodom, being self-confident, not feeling bad about yourself. That was all the theme of every. And one of his most famous stories, I can't remember which book, it probably was in many of his books. He talked about that, how he was raised. Where did he learn this? From his father. He's a medical doctor. He's a psychiatrist, but he learned it from his father. He said when he would do something wrong as a kid, and of course the big story in the Hasidic home in Milwaukee when he was a kid was, his father had told him, I'll never forget this, because I was like all excited to feel like, oh yeah, all those, my dad was telling me I shouldn't play basketball on Shabbos, I shouldn't play baseball on Shabbos, right? That wasn't his problem. He was told he shouldn't play chess on Shabbos. Now, I think a lot of people play chess on Shabbos, okay, but this is not a question, the time now to discuss chess on Shabbos or not. But he was told he shouldn't play chess on Shabbos, and he did. And his father caught him somehow, and he told him, Abi Shula, it's pasnished. It's not worth it. It's beneath you. You're better than this. He didn't yell at him. He didn't say you're terrible that you did this. It's pasnished. It's not befitting. That's exactly what Rabbeinu Yonah says here. Every charata in Aveira is, it wasn't befitting. Why am I mitcharet? Because it's beneath me. Because I'm supposed to be better than this, and I know that. That's genuine charata. I say, turn the
page. He pulled him back afterwards.
I don't remember the whole story.
He said, did you win?
Oh, did you? Ken Zine, okay. Yeah. For the record, for those lucky few who are at the shul barbecue and bonfire on, was it Sunday? Monday night. So this is the second time in a week I've quoted Dr. Tursky. I probably hadn't quoted him in the last year or two, but in 1 week now I quoted two stories from him. Okay, anyway, just to conclude, you turn the page. We're going to finish in a minute or two. He has two more quotes to end the piece from the Ramchal, not in Masil Sasharim, in books that are not so easy to find, who also make this point beautifully, powerfully. And in between, sandwiching between the two Ramchal quotes, he says it really comes from, and this is the basis of the Ramchal, a statement of Chazal in the Tana de Be'el Yahu. Yeah, I'm on the last page of this chapter, right in the middle paragraph. It says, this Musar Chiyuvi, this new term, which I love, Hashlav HaRishon is, again, he says, you find this now in Chovos Levavos, in Ramchal, in Shari Tshuva, and he says, I also found it in the Derech Eitz Chaim of the Ramchal. But he says, it all comes from this Tana de Be'el Yahu. Because Tana de Be'el Yahu has a famous quote, you probably have heard this quote before, Chayv Adam Lomar, a person has to say to himself, Masai Yagiyu Masai, Lamasai Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. When will a person has to say to himself every day, when will my actions reach the level of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov? So says the Revolbi, based on that quote, what do you see from this Tana video? Chayev Adam Lomar Kein. Ki zuhi ha-hatchala v'ha-yesod. Right? A person does not have aspirations to have to follow in the footsteps of his forefathers, let alone Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, unless they're aware of their potential. Of godless Adam. And Ein Echarami, once you have expectations can lead to then disappointment, right? The only way to avoid disappointment is to have no expectations, right? It's a foolproof way to go through. You can have a happy marriage if you have no expectations of anything good, but you wouldn't really have a good marriage, right? And you have zero expectations of accomplishing anything in life, you'll never be disappointed either. But it's not a productive way to go through life. So Ein Echarami, just to summarize and to finish now where we started. Ein Echarami is Musar about being aware of the quote disappointments, i.e. where I fall short, and that's maybe going to make me feel not so great? Of course, because that's the whole purpose of life, is to improve ourselves. But it has to start from expectations. And on what basis does any rational person have expectations of himself? Because he realizes, as Revolbi started, again, this is the opening thing, which was so powerful, as great as this whole chapter is, The best thing might be just the first paragraph, which we started in the first minute. That the entire everyone has to be there. What does it mean to, that we're an olam mole? It means that there never was, and there never will be, anyone like me. There's never ever been, and never will be anyone with my unique DNA, with my unique parents, my unique cultural, historical. Everything about me is completely unique. There never was, and never will be. And that means that there is something that I can and must do that no one else has done, no one else will do, and no one else can do. As he put it, that's Roma Musa Adam. Isn't Musa all about Sur Meira? Yes and no. It's about Sur Meira if you first are aware of A, your unique abilities, and that whatever it is that you're going to investigate, whatever it is that you're going to uncover in that Cheshbon HaNefesh, you have the ability to change because you're not a nobody. As he said, if you just go right to the Sur Meira, aside from being depressed, it also would be a self-fulfilling prophecy because if you have no positive attributes, then what would you even bring to bear to fix the negative ones? And therefore, this is really one of the, this is our third year doing the Sefer. I think we've done a lot of great things, but this may be one of the five best chapters we've read. I think this is incredibly, incredibly important. And again, I'm very excited to see in future weeks how he develops this. But this is a really important, again, if this whole shar is all about, okay, how do we go from the next step of, now we're the last shar, which we did the first part of the year, was knowing myself. Okay, now that I know myself, how can I move on to fix myself? How can I improve myself? So instead of Rova, you have to start with Rom Musa Nefesh, Musar Chiyuvi. Not just la-la, it makes everyone feel good, but because just philosophically, conceptually, psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually, the order has to be that way. Or else a person will never be able to accomplish anything, and they will distort what is the Hashkachas Hashem. Why would Hashem have wasted his time and energy on creating a nobody? Are you saying Hashem made a mistake? I'm a worthless person. You think that makes you very firm? What you're really saying is Hashem made a mistake. You're a kofar if you say such a thing. Adraba, if Hashem made me, it's because he knows that the world needed me exactly right now with this DNA and this ability. And that means, because I have that, it also means that if I fall short, I have to have a harata. But that's the basis of everything. In Emirat Hashem, we should all live up to these aspirations, which are not delusional. But being honest about our abilities is going to help us be more honest and constructive in our deficiencies.